Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
And that's what we are all about. If you are new to our church, let me tell you what we're about. We're not about the people who are already inside the church. We're about the community where we live, where we are, where God has placed us. And our desire is that our community will know more about the love of Jesus Christ because of who we are, because of what we do. And hence our slogan, No Perfect People Allowed. And that's what we're going to do more and more. This morning, a couple of you came to me and said, Pastor Daniel, I heard you on Sunshine FM this morning. And two or three people came to me saying that. And I love that because early this week, Bevan Jones, the CEO of Sunshine FM, wrote me an email saying, hey, I listened to your sermon series, The Last Words of Jesus, and I was so blessed by it. It was so good that I believe I want the whole people in Perth to hear it. So with your permission, we would like to air the whole series starting this Sunday for the next three Sundays. With your permission, I want to do that. And I said, Bevan, it'll be a huge blessing for us too if you will do that. And that's what we do. That's who we are. We want to bless not just the people of our church, but we want to bless this whole city with the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. And today, let me tell you, I'm very, 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 very excited for today and for the next 3 weeks as we start our new sermon series, Aftermath. And before I begin, I just want to say one thing. Unfortunately, there are many Christians out there, especially the millennials, especially the Gen Z. A lot of Christians have left their Christian faith because of this. Because of what they read in the Bible that they couldn't understand. Because of what people said about the Bible that they could not defend. They could not defend the story of creation. They could not explain why the God of the Old Testament was so mean and angry. They could not explain how Jonah could be swallowed by a big fish and survive. They could not explain many of the stories of the Bible, and that's why many of them chose to live the Christian faith. And if that's you this morning, maybe you have chosen to live the Christian faith and maybe you're here because someone asked you to come here, or maybe you're thinking about leaving the Christian faith, let me tell you that you don't have to leave, okay? You don't have to leave, and let me tell you why. You don't have to leave because the foundation of our faith is not this. The foundation of our faith is not the Bible. Don't get me wrong. I believe the Bible is important. I believe all the 66 books of the Bible are written by men, inspired by the Spirit of God, and hence I believe the Bible is the Word of God. But this is not the reason for my faith. This is not the foundation of our faith. How do I know that? Because the most devout followers of Jesus in the first century, they did not own a Bible. They never read the Bible. They couldn't have read the Bible even if there was a Bible. You know why? Because majority of them could not read. And the truth of the matter is, there was no Bible for the first four centuries. So the question is, how does this man and women of God, right, without the Bible, how could they turn the world upside down to the point that here we are 2,000 years later worshiping Jesus and they never had one of these? How is that possible? What did they know that we don't know? How come it's so easy for many of us to live our faith because of something that did not exist when Christianity first started? It doesn't make sense to me. So I want you to think about that today and for the next few weeks as we talk about this, because let me tell you, the foundation of our faith is something better than the B-I-B-L-E, okay? And if we want our Christian faith to continue into the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that, it is crucial for every single one of us to know what is the real foundation of our faith. Do you know that post 9/11, there are many books published by people who have since become rock stars. We call them the new atheists. 4 books especially were bestsellers. The End of Faith was on the New York Times bestselling list for 33 weeks post 9/11. And then the author, Sam Harris, wrote a follow-up book the next year called Letter to a Christian Nation. And then not too long after, Richard Dawkins wrote a book called The God Delusion. And then Christopher Hitchens, the year after that, wrote a book called God is Not Great. And these people, they were not attacking Islam. They said Islam is not the problem, because post 9/11, people think Islam is the problem in our world. He said, no. You know what the real problem is? Religion. That's the real problem. Religion is the root of all evil. Basically, they attack every religion, including Christianity. Sam Harris said this, it is time that we admitted that faith is nothing more than the license religious people give one another to keep believing when reasons fail. He said, I don't care about this because your reasoning is not even adequate for me to worry about. And then Dawkins wrote this, the God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. That's what he thought of the Bible, fiction. Jealous and proud of it, petty, unjust, unforgiving, control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty, ethnic cleanser. And he went on and on and on and on. And then he wrote this about the Bible. To be fair, much of the Bible is not systematically evil. It's just plain weird. As you would expect of a chaotically cobbled together anthology of disjointed documents, composed, revised, translated, disordered, and then improved by hundreds of anonymous authors who don't know each other, spanning 9 centuries. Now, how do you deal with that? Most importantly, maybe for you, you have a firm belief in the Bible, but how do you think your 19-year-old daughter can deal with that? Is your 21-year-old son prepared for something like that? You see, the good news is, okay, they don't need to be able to debate with Sam Harris, with Richard Dawkins, in order to hang on to their faith. You know why? Because this, once again, is not the foundation of our faith. It is much better than this. I gotta start from the beginning. If you grew up in church, you would know that there are 4 biographies about Jesus written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We call them the 4 Gospels. And then Luke, who was a medical doctor and a first-class historian, acknowledged by even secular historians as a first-rate historian, Luke wrote a sequel to the Gospel of Luke called the Acts of the Apostles, or the Book of Acts. And in the Book of Acts, he documents what happened 30 years post-resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we call this series Aftermath. He explains what happened in the next 30 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this morning, I'm not going to preach to you. I'm just going to read to you what Luke wrote, okay? And he felt it is important to let us know that one of the first things the apostles of Jesus Christ did post-resurrection was to select the replacement for Judas. Judas was one of the 12 apostles, and he betrayed Jesus by selling him for 30 pieces of silver, and then he regretted the decision. He actually threw the 30 pieces of silver, and then he hung himself. So the apostles wanted to find a replacement, and Luke recorded for us the process. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us. That's one criteria. This replacement must have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism, that was the beginning point of Jesus' ministry, to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. That's the first criteria. And then more importantly, they have to have this criteria. For one of these men must become a witness with us of his resurrection. I want you to pay attention to these 2 words, witness and resurrection, because it's going to keep coming again and again and again. So by this time, there were like hundreds of followers of Jesus Christ. By the way, you know, maybe you think there were only 12 followers of Jesus Christ tagging along with him everywhere he went. No, there were hundreds of them. And that's why they were able to choose from one of these hundreds of people who've been with them the whole time. So they started this teaching about Jesus, all right? Now, this is how the story went. One day, while they were meeting in Jerusalem, a huge wind came, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and somehow, magically, they were able to speak in languages that people could understand. And the people were astonished, and this is what happened. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, in amazement, because each one heard their own language being spoken. How could that be? Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?" However, not all of them were impressed. Some of them were skeptical. So this is what happened. Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Ha, ha, ha, they had too much wine. They were drunk." And then Peter, who was, I think, chosen to be the spokesperson, or maybe he appointed himself to be the spokesperson, he explained to the people what had happened. And he started by warming up the crowd first by making a joke. And he said this in verse 15. "These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, guys. Ha, ha, ha. They couldn't be drunk." And then he went on to this amazing, amazing message, starting from verse 22. "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." Do you know when this event happened? Not 7 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, not 70 years. This event happened only 7 weeks post-resurrection. Okay? So there were eyewitnesses. "Hey, Reuben, you were there when Jesus fed 5,000 people. Ezekiel, your son was healed by Jesus. You were there. You know what I'm talking about. So this is our story. This is what you already know. I'm not preaching something new." And then he continued, "This man, however, was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, people," Peter put the blame on the people, "you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." Maybe you didn't put him to the cross yourself directly, but by your silence, even though you were blessed by Jesus, you didn't say anything. In fact, some of you were part of the crowd jeering Jesus. You were the ones who nailed him to that cross. But the good news is, God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. We are all witnesses of it. This was the very first sermon ever preached. I'm not exaggerating. This was the first sermon ever preached. What was it? What was the first sermon ever preached? Not from the story of creation. Peter did not preach from Jonah and the whale. Peter did not even preach the parables of Jesus or the miracles that Jesus did. They were all wonderful. What did Peter preach as the very first sermon? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said, "We are all witnesses of it." And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart because they knew this was true. They were cut to the heart and they said to Peter and to other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And then Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized." By the way, the word repent, metanoia, it doesn't mean turn away from your evil ways. No, repent means change your mind. Change your mind about Jesus. This man did not do anything wrong. He came from God. He died for our sins and he was raised to life. I want you to change your mind about Jesus and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And this is amazing. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That's how Christianity got started. And then the apostles became more and more bold. This was the first big incident. They become, like I said, more and more bold. They were preaching about this resurrected Jesus, not only from house to house, but also they went to the temple. Because at this time, Judaism was still the prominent religion of the day. And Peter could not shut up. He had to speak about the resurrected Jesus. So he regularly went to the temple to preach the gospel, to preach about Jesus. And one day, as he went to the temple, not yet. As he went to the temple, there was a crippled beggar who'd been begging all of his life, practically, asking Peter and John for money. And this is how Peter and John replied. Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And then amazingly, this man jumped to his feet and began to walk. And all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. See, this was near the temple area, the front yard of the temple. People were still giving sacrifices, so they all still believe in Judaism. And Peter preached boldly about this Jesus in that area. When Peter saw this, he saw an opportunity. This man now walking around, the man that everyone knew was crippled from birth. And he said this. He took this opportunity to preach about Jesus again. "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? This had been foretold long ago by the prophets. It wasn't me who made this man walk. Let me tell you, it was Jesus Christ of Nazareth." And then he went on again on the offense by saying this. "But you handed him over to be killed." Notice how many times Peter used the word "you." "You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. A murderer by the name of Barabbas." If you grew up in church, you would know that. "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." You know what was the foundation of Peter's faith, of John's faith, of the first disciples' faith? It was not this. They have always known the teaching of Jesus. They have always believed the miracles Jesus did. But what did they do? Despite the wonderful teaching of Jesus, now, you know, we love the teaching of Jesus, don't we? But despite, and they loved it even more because they were there the first time Jesus told those stories, you know, performed those miracles. But at the end of all of that, what did they do? They ran. They hid. They abandoned Jesus. They were not courageous. They were not preaching the gospel. They were trying to save their own behind, even after knowing the teaching of Jesus. But the foundation for their faith was an event that they witnessed with their own two eyes, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people, interrupting their sermon. How rude. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them again. "By what power or what name did you do this?" They really wanted to know because they saw with their own two eyes too how this crippled man began to walk. And then Peter never changed his tune, never changed his story, filled with the Holy Spirit. He said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if you ask me by what name, let me tell you by what name. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Peter, come on. How many times do you have to preach about this man who was raised from the dead, this Jesus who was raised from the dead, and how you offend people by telling them, "You killed him, you killed him, but God raised him from the dead." And the people cannot deny the evidence of Frank walking around who had been crippled from birth. And they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. Unschooled literally means illiterate in the Greek, and ordinary in the Greek is idiotai, from which we get the word, you know what? To these people, I mean, by the way, Peter and John, they were not illiterate, but in their eyes, these guys are a bunch of morons. They were idiots. How could they do this? They were astonished, and they took note that this man had been with Jesus, okay? And so they called him. They called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But then Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to God? You be the judges. The boldness and the courage, it's amazing. But as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. See, they knew the teaching of Jesus all along, but definitely they could help hiding, being afraid. But after they saw themselves, Jesus, having breakfast with them on the beach, appearing to them as they were hiding in a safe place in a room, as they were talking, walking with Jesus, they said, guys, we cannot help it. We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And this is the foundation of our faith. The leaders could not do anything, let them go. And they kept doing the same thing again and again. They just kept preaching about the resurrected Jesus. So they were so afraid that more and more people would become followers of Jesus. They called them in again. So they sent him, the same group of people. The apostles were brought in again, made to appear before the Sanhedrin again, to be questioned by the high priest again. And then Peter and the other apostles replied, the same reply that they gave before, we must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead. Same message, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. And then the leaders have had enough of Peter and John. And they thought to themselves, even though they were advised, hey, if this is of man, it's going to die down. But if it was of God, we cannot stop it, but they will try anyway. So they have had enough of Peter and John and the apostles. Though they decided to do something drastic, they decided to capture them and flog them. Read what happened next. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. You know, in those days, there was no Google for people to do a background check on you to know if you're a criminal or not. You know how they do a background check back in the day? Let me see your back. That's how they do a background check. If there are any scars, there are any marks on your back, that means you're a criminal, all right? It was not just a punishment. It was a disgrace to have that scar forever marked, etched on your back. And then they let them go. How do you think the apostles, the disciples, respond to that flogging, to that shame of having these marks on your back? Did they become afraid? Did they stop preaching about Jesus? Oh man, they're going to kill us. We better stop. No. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. What name? The name of Jesus. And they kept doing the same thing again and again. And Luke, you know, could not write every single thing that they did. So Luke quickly summarized what they did. And Luke said this, day after day after day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. What is the message here for us? Very simple. These guys are our people. How did you think Christianity survived the first century, the second century, the third century, the fourth century without this? Without this? How did you think they survived? By the way, the attack came mostly from the temple. See, the Romans are just used by the Jewish religious leaders to attack Christianity, right? To attack Jesus. They survived the onslaught of persecution, not because of a book. There was no book, but there was courage, there was fearlessness, there was boldness, not because of a book, but because of an event. They saw the resurrected Jesus living among them. So if you want to know what is the foundation of our Christian faith, it's simple. It is the resurrection. The resurrection is the reason why there was Christianity in the first place. If there was no resurrection, there will not be Christianity. There will not be the church, let me tell you. And if there was no Christians, let me tell you, there will not be B-I-B-L-E as we know it. Because this was written later, all right? John wrote a bit later on. And then, you know, Peter wrote a bit later on. You see, the sequence is this. The resurrection happened, and then the disciples could not help but being bold of this awesome message. I mean, come on, think about it. If someone can predict their own death and resurrection and actually pull it off, you would go with whatever the man says. We said that many, many times. And it's true. That's what they did. They were fearful before the resurrection, and they became fearless after the resurrection. What was the difference? Not the teaching of Jesus. I mean, the teaching of Jesus was amazing. But the difference was the resurrection. The resurrection happened, the church happens, and then the Bible happens. Same thing with your life. The reality of you will continue whether or not you have a birth certificate. Am I right? The reason why you are a reality, why you are real, is because your parents got together, have a bit of sexy time, and then you exist, and then there was a birth certificate. Am I right? If you lost your birth certificate, it doesn't make you unreal. You just print another birth certificate. Same thing with our faith. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith. Not a book. Not a book. As we close, I want you to imagine with me. Imagine that time travel is possible. Imagine the new atheists, Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris. Imagine they were talking to Peter, okay? And then they went on the attack, telling Peter what they wrote in their books. Peter, your reasoning is inadequate. Peter, how do you explain the nasty God of the Old Testament, the story of Jonah and the fish? This is how I imagine Peter would respond to Richard Dawkins. Hey, Richard Dawkins, I grew up always believing in the story of the Old Testament. I always believed the story of Jonah was real, the story of creation was real. But let me tell you, it doesn't matter whether they were real or not. The foundation of my faith was not the story of Jonah. The foundation of my faith was not anything else written in the Bible. And Sam, you asked me what is the reason for my faith. You said my reasoning is inadequate. Well, let me tell you my reasoning for my faith. Actually, I only have one reason. They captured Jesus and I ran. They asked me if I knew Jesus, I lied. They put Jesus on the cross, and I saw with my own two eyes, he died. And then after that, I lost my faith. I thought I had given my faith to a fraud. I was like you. I thought to myself, how stupid can I be putting such faith on a fraud? So I was dejected, I was wounded, I lost all hope. Until that Sunday morning, some women came to us telling us that the tomb was empty. My first reaction was not, oh, it was a miracle. No, I thought somebody might have must have stolen his body. So I ran to the tomb, and true enough, the body was not there. So we came back to our hiding place, to this room. We locked the door, and there he was, Jesus, with scars on his hands. Thomas didn't believe him and asked to put his fingers on the scars. So, if you ask me the reason for my faith, why I believe what I believe because I saw what I saw. There's only one reason and one reason only for my hope. Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus, is my living hope. Nothing else. I was a coward before the resurrection. I was ready to give my life for him after the resurrection. The resurrection is the foundation of my faith. Let me tell you, the resurrection should be the foundation of your faith, of your children's faith, of your grandchildren's faith, because there will be onslaught. They will keep coming, attacking the Bible, attacking our faith, attacking Christianity, just like Christianity was attacked in the first century. Let me tell you, attacks are already happening right now. See, in the past, you know, even though a lot of people are not Christians, at least they respected the Bible in the past. Right? But now, no more. If you think that people respect you because you believe the Bible, you are disillusioned. You're living in the past. But the good news is, we who believe the Bible is the Word of God. I'm not saying the Bible is not the Word of God, but we don't need to argue with people that it is. We just need to tell people, hey, guess what? I don't know about the story of Jonah and the whale. I don't know about the story of creation. I can't defend that. I believe it, but I can't defend it. But that's not the foundation of my faith. That's not why I believe. I believe because someone predicted his own death and resurrection and actually pulled it off. And I want to encourage you, if you want to know more about Christianity, investigate the resurrection. Find out for yourself if it was an actual event, because if it was, you would go with whatever that man says. Why don't we stand up on our feet and we're going to sing this song. I want you to declare your faith afresh this morning by singing this song with all your heart. And as we close, this is us. Yeah? Church, this is our faith. So let us declare this with gladness. Thank Jesus as you sing this. And I'm going to come back and close us in prayer.
Thank you for listening to Great Resources. And to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.